Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Gary Jimenez. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Harvest Church. And Harvest Church, I just wanted to commend you and say thank you for your wonderful gifts as you continue to tithe and give your gifts unto the Lord. This church is marked with generosity. We put out a challenge to our church, and we ask you to help out with Operation Christmas Child. And I want you to know, Harvest, you rose to the occasion, and you gave over 300 gifts to children that would not normally get gifts at Christmas time or maybe even celebrate Christmas. But we put that challenge out there. You collected boxes. You filled them up with gifts. And we were able to help out over 300 children in not only the United States, but around the world as well with gifts. And Harvest Church, I just want to say thank you. Our ministry team wants to say thank you. You are such a generous church, and this church is marked with generosity, all because you've been so generous. So thank you as you continue to give unto the Lord, especially during these pandemic times. Well, I am excited to be able to preach today, and I've titled the message, "The Bible Can Be Trusted." And this message was birthed in my heart after a conversation that I had with someone in our church who had been raised in church their entire life. And we were talking about the scriptures and about the validity of the Bible, and they had questions about the Bible. They didn't know if the Bible we have today was 100% the same Bible that Jesus would have read. They weren't sure if the Bible we have today was 100% accurate with all the different stories, and they weren't sure about this. And it dawned on me at the time that if someone who had been raised in church their entire life could have questions about the validity of the Bible, then obviously there were other people in our church that also had questions like this. So no matter whether this is your first time ever logging into a church service or whether you've been raised in church your entire life, today we're going to explore why the Bible can be trusted. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to join us. God, we thank you for your wonderful presence. God, I have planned, I've prayed, and I have prepared. But now, Lord, would you add the power that comes with the preaching of your Holy Spirit? And God, I just pray that no matter where we are in the spectrum of our belief in the Bible, whether we believe that the Bible is 100% true or whether we don't believe in the Bible at all, I pray that for all of us that have logged in today, that you would allow us to approach this message with an open heart, with an open mind, so that you could speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 35. He says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Did you know that heaven and earth are going to change? And have you noticed over the last about 9 months since the beginning of the pandemic that the world has changed, maybe even just a little bit? No. The world has changed a lot. It seems like everything in our world has changed. But one thing that remains the same is God's love for us and his word, because it never has to change. In fact, because the Bible never has to change and it remains the same, the Bible could be trusted back in 20 BC. The Bible could be trusted back in 20 AD. The Bible could be trusted back in 1920, and it could still be trusted today in 2020, because the Bible never has to change. Pastor Gary, how do we know that the Bible never has to change? How do we know that the Bible has never even been changed? Well, that's what we're going to take a look at today. And we're going to take a look at three different proofs for why the Bible can be trusted. So the first proof we're going to look at for why the Bible can be trusted is that the Bible is historically accurate. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 tells us that God cannot lie. And there's not too many things that God cannot do, but lying is one of the things God cannot do. And so if even just one thing found in Scripture is not 100% historically accurate, then we could question the entire validity of the Scripture, because God just cannot lie. And there are some people who believe that the Bible is just not accurate, and it's been changed over time as it's been handed down from generation to generation. But this just isn't true, because we have historical proof of the validity of the Bible. The Bible isn't just a book of principles, but it is historically accurate. And historians will tell you that in order for a piece of literature to be considered historically accurate, there are three tests that documents and literature have to pass. And these three tests are not Christian tests, but these are secular tests that actually measure the accuracy of a piece of literature or document to see if it's actually true or not. And these three tests are these. Test number one is the eyewitness test. The stories that are found in your scripture are not just hearsay stories, but these, most of the Bible is written by people that were actually there. Like, for instance, if we take the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these people were actually there with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They saw the miraculous with their own very eyes. And the thing that is so amazing to me is that they didn't collaborate with each other before they wrote down their experiences. It wasn't like John text messaged Matthew and said, "Hey, Matthew, today when we saw Jesus feed the 5,000, did he feed them with clams? Was it with shrimp? Was it with fish? I mean, what did he do it with?" No, they didn't collaborate at all. And yet the four Gospels don't contradict each other. They align perfectly. We could even read secular books from historians that were actually there at the time of Jesus, that saw things with their own eyes, that are actually recorded in your Bible. They record about the existence of Jesus, about how Jesus was crucified. In fact, you could even go into most bookstores today, and you could even go to most libraries today and check out writings from people like Josephus, who is a Jewish historian at the time of Jesus, who wrote about Jesus, who had no motivation for wanting to prove the existence of Jesus, and yet he wrote about the accounts that he saw. These people actually wrote about the accounts that they saw with their own very eyes. And in fact, we have so much historical proof about Jesus actually being a real historical character that we have more writings about the person of Jesus Christ than we even do about Julius Caesar. These people were actually there. The second historical test is the recording test. And the Bible was copied with extreme care. In fact, God chose some of the most meticulous people on the face of the planet to copy the scriptures, the Jewish nation of Israel. And these Jewish scribes had a practice that nobody else had on the planet. When they copied scriptures, they didn't just copy the scriptures word by word, but they copied the scriptures letter by letter. And so when it came to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, they knew exactly how many letters were in each of those books. And so after they were done with each and individual book, they would actually go to the middle letter of that book and they would count in each direction. And if the letters did not match and come up to the exact number that should be in that book, you know what they would do? They would get the entire scripture and they would throw it away. Why? Because they were so meticulous with how they copied things. They would start over from that point. And there's a myth that people believe. Some people believe that the scriptures are just not true because they've been changed as it's been handed down from generation to generation. But again, this just is not true because we have historical proof of this. Back in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, and the Dead Sea Scrolls contained the ancient writings of the Old Testament. The entire Old Testament was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, except for the book of Esther. And here's what they did. They dated these scriptures back to about 100 years before the time of Jesus was when these scriptures were written. So when they found these scriptures, it's an amazing thing. They found these scriptures and they didn't match the scriptures to our Bible today only word by word. Of course they did that, but they matched the Bible that we have today with those ancient writings letter by letter. And you know what they found? They found that they matched. They collaborated each other. They aligned perfectly. And I believe that this is probably one of the greatest historical findings of our time, because it really does prove that the Bible we have today is the exact same Bible that Jesus would have read. It's never changed throughout history. And I've had the opportunity of seeing the Dead Sea Scrolls four different times in my life. In fact, every time that we've taken a team to Israel, we've gone to the place where they house the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I've been able to see the Dead Sea Scrolls with my own eyes. It's an amazing thing to see. Now, the third historical test is the archaeological test. And archaeology proves again and again that the people and the places found in your Bible actually existed. Friends, the Bible is not fiction, but you can actually go visit the places that are written about in your Bible. And throughout history, there have been archaeologists that didn't believe the validity of the Bible because the certain places that are written about in your Bible, we haven't been able to find certain artifacts or even documents about their existence throughout secular history. And so what archaeologists do is that over time, they continue to search search and continue to do archaeological digs and excavations. And you know what they find? That over time, they find documents and they find artifacts of some of the civilizations that are written in your Bible that they didn't even know existed. But the Bible is the only place that this civilization is even recorded in. So they go back to scriptures and they say, wow, the Bible had it right all along. You know why? Because the Bible passes the three tests of history. Now, the second proof for why the Bible can be trusted is that the Bible is scientifically accurate. Let's look at Psalm 148, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Let every created thing give praise to the Lord, for he issued his command and they came into being. He set them in place forever and ever. His decrees will never be revoked. Friends, God created everything. He created the laws of physics. He created the laws of the universe. He created the heavens, the earth, the sun, the sky, the water, and even the stars. And this is why when the Bible talks about these things, it has never been able to be contradicted, even though the science that is found in your Bible was not believed by the scholars of that day. I love what Joanne Kepler once said. He said that, and by the way, he's a famous mathematician and astronomer. He said that science is simply thinking God's thoughts after him. In other words, that God sets the laws of physics into motion, and we humans, we discover them. The Bible isn't a science book, but the Bible does have a lot to say about science. And understand this, that the Bible never once gives bad science. The Bible was written over a 1,600-year period of time. And over that span of time, the Bible never gives not even 1 ounce of bad science. In fact, the science that is found in your Bible was ahead of its time. Do you know that science is changing all of the time, but that truth remains the same? Do you know that our science books are being updated all the time, but that the Bible never has to be changed? Let me illustrate it for you like this. For those of you that are over 40 years old, think back when you were in the third grade. If you were to go back and read your science book from the third grade, most of that stuff would be laughable today. They're not teaching that stuff anymore. So much of it has changed. In fact, when you and I were in school in the third grade, we were taught that there were 9 planets. But if you were to ask your children today, hey, how many planets are you being taught in school today that there are? You know what they'll tell you? They'll say that there's 8 planets. Pluto is not even a planet anymore. I mean, it's laughable, some of the stuff that you and I were taught back then. And yet, science continues to be changed. But you know what remains the same? God's word remains the same. God's word never has to be changed. It never has to be updated. It never has to be revised. You know why? Because it's scientifically accurate. And here's an example of something that people believed back then as well, all the way up until recent time. People for years and years and years have believed that the earth was flat. And it wasn't until recent times with Galileo and even Columbus back in 1492 when people started to believe that the earth was round. And this happened about 600 years ago when people started to believe that the earth isn't flat, but that it's actually round. But over 2,600 years ago, your Bible records that the earth was round. You may not realize how much science is found in your Bible, but listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, the Bible says, "He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. They stretch out the heavens like a canopy and stretch them out like a tent to live in." Did you catch that? It says the word here for circle, where it said that the earth is enthroned over the circle of the earth. That word circle there is a word where we get sphere from. It's the Hebrew word sphere, which is also the Hebrew word of globe. Which if they would have just read their Bibles, they would have realized that it's laughable to think that the earth is flat. It's not flat, it's round. And one of the most powerful things that proves that the Bible is absolutely inspired by God is not just the science that is found in your Bible, but the science that is not found in your Bible. Because when the Bible was being written, there was widely accepted science at that time that people believed. And yet that widely accepted science did not make it into your Bible because God knew that the science of that day was just not accurate. And listen, here's a couple of examples of things that people also believed at that time. There was a common belief that the earth was being held up or suspended by something or somebody. And so the Greeks actually had a belief that the Greek mythology god Atlas was holding up the globe or the earth on his back. You've probably seen pictures of that. Also, the Egyptians, who were experts in science, they were ahead of their time. They believed that the earth was held up by five different pillars. That's laughable today. And in fact, the Hindus, they believed that the earth sat on the back of an elephant, which sat on the back of a sea turtle, which sat on the back of a sea serpent, which swam throughout the seas. Come on, somebody say, I can't believe they used to believe things like that. It's laughable to think that they believe things like that. And yet that science of that day did not make it into your Bible. And you know why? Because the Bible is historically accurate and scientifically accurate. And here's something that's absolutely amazing. You know what did make it into the Bible? You know what science made it into the oldest book of the Bible? And by the way, what is the oldest book of the Bible? Come on, somebody. That's right. It's the book of Job. I want you to hear what Job says in the oldest book of the Bible. Job 26, verse 7 says this. He spreads out the northern stars over empty space, or the northern skies over empty space. He suspends the earth over nothing. How did he know that this science was ahead of its time? How did he know that it was over nothing? Maybe it's because the Bible was inspired by God. It was also a common belief when the Bible was being written that the number of stars could be counted. And this guy named Hipparchus, back in 150 BC, before Jesus was ever born, he took it upon himself to count the number of stars in the entire universe, because everyone believed that that number could be counted. And so here's what he did. He took a chart and he started to count. He said, there's one, there's two, there's three. And he counted all the stars in the universe, believed at that time to be in the universe. And he came up with the fact that there were 1,022 stars in all the universe. Then 300 years later came this guy named Ptolemy, who is still regarded as one of the geniuses of astronomy even today. He said, that guy Hipparchus, I don't know what he was thinking, but I recounted the number of stars. And I came up with this figure. There's not 1,022 stars. I recounted them. There is 1,025 stars. That guy was dead wrong. I mean, I counted three more stars than that guy. That guy just didn't know what he was doing. He must have had bad eyesight or something. I must have better eyesight because I counted them. But here's something that's very, very interesting. Over 2,600 years ago, here's what Jeremiah records, something found in your Bible. Here's the words that he says. Jeremiah 33, verse 22. And as the stars of the sky cannot be counted, and the sand of the seashores cannot be measured. Come on, if they would have just read their Bibles throughout the centuries, they would have realized that you cannot count the number of stars. That science is laughable. So, friends, your Bible can be trusted because it is scientifically accurate. And the third reason why the Bible can be trusted is because the Bible is prophetically accurate. The Bible is filled with prophecy, and prophecy is a foretelling about something that's going to happen. It's when a prophet tells about something or some events in the future that happen, and then they actually come true. And there are thousands of scriptures found throughout your Bible. But I want you to know, a lot of people say that I'm a prophet. And I am a prophet, which is why today I'm going to prophesy that the San Francisco 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl for the next 10 years in a row. Come on, somebody. All right. No, now I know that's false prophecy. Pastor Gary, that's false prophecy, because we all know your 49ers are not going to win that. I know we're playing horrible right now. In fact, we have so many injuries that I don't even know how many games we're going to win, yet alone the Super Bowl. I know we're not going to. That's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time. But there are over 1,000 prophecies found in your Bible. And that's a huge risk to put that many prophecies in your scriptures. The reason why is because if even just one of those prophecies did not come true, then we could question the entire validity of the Bible. And there are over 300 prophecies alone given about Jesus. And these prophecies about Jesus were given over an 1,100 year span of time. And the last prophecy given about Jesus, about before he was born, came 400 years before he was born. Could you imagine that? Let me put that into perspective for you. If Jesus was born today, then the last prophecy about Jesus coming would have came over on the Mayflower. Could you imagine somebody prophesying about you 400 years before you were even born? They wouldn't have any details about you. They wouldn't know who your parents are, who your great-grandparents are, who your great-great-great-grandparents are. They wouldn't know your hobbies, what kind of car you drive. They wouldn't know where you live. They wouldn't even know what type of foods you like. Now, if they were prophesying about Pastor Perry, they would get the foods thing right because he loves every type of food. He likes fried Twinkies. He likes fried cheese. He likes fried fish. He likes fried chicken. In fact, he likes everything with the word fried in it. Come on, somebody. Somebody say a loud amen right there. You know Pastor Perry loves food. And yet the Bible records specific prophecies, not general prophecies. These weren't 300 generic prophecies. Things like, well, Jesus is going to be awesome. He's going to be great. He's going to be amazing. No, these were very specific details, like where he was going to live. Could you imagine someone prophesying about you 400 years about where you were going to live, but before you were even born? It would sound like this. Someday there's going to be this guy named Gary Jimenez who's born in San Francisco, California. And San Francisco doesn't exist today, but it's a civilization that will exist in the future. And this guy, Gary, he's going to be named after a street sign. Only his parents are going to be immigrants to San Francisco. They're going to look out the window from where Gary was born at Kaiser, and they're going to see a street sign there. And that street sign is going to say Geary. Only they're not going to know that it's pronounced Geary, but they're going to pronounce his name Gary. And for his entire life, he's going to be called by this false name, Gary. And by the way, that is a real true story. My parents really did look out the window and name me after a street sign that they had no clue how to pronounce. All right. Imagine these prophets continued to prophesy about me and saying, one day this guy, Gary, is going to be tall, dark, handsome. He's going to be strong, but he's going to be very bald. Come on, somebody. Like, could you imagine them actually prophesying with that type of accuracy? And yet your Bible is filled with that type of specifications found about the prophecies about Jesus. Things like the fact that he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, not a horse, but a donkey. Ever since the existence of time, kings have always ridden on horses. So to predict that he would ride in on a donkey, that's like an impossibility. That would be like someone prophesying about me today driving to work every day in my Toyota Prius. Now, hey, everyone, don't make fun about my Prius. I love my Prius. It may not have a whole lot of power, but I get a whole lot of gas mileage. Come on, I'm saving a ton of money. And one of the most unbelievable prophecies given about Jesus was a prophecy that David gave. David prophesied that Jesus was going to die by crucifixion. And the reason why that was an amazing prophecy is because crucifixion wasn't even a thing yet. It wasn't even invented. Nobody had died by crucifixion, and yet he prophesied that Jesus was going to die this way. Crucifixion didn't even come until the time of Jesus with the Romans. How did he prophesy with that type of specification? How did he know that Jesus was going to die by ways that was not even invented yet? Maybe it's because God has been involved in the formation of the scriptures ever since the beginning of the scriptures. And there is a man named Dr. Peter Stoner who did an amazing study. He did an entire study called Science Speaks. In fact, you could even do research on this study after this message today. It's an amazing study. And Peter Stoner set out to find out the probability of these prophecies actually being able to come true about Jesus. So he recruited over 600 mathematicians, help him come up with this probability. And here's what they found out, that even just 8 of these 300 prophecies coming true was nearly impossible. And what they found out was this probability. They found out that even just 8 out of the 300 prophecies about Jesus coming true was this probability. It was 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Pastor Gary, we don't understand that figure. You got to break it down for us. Hey, don't worry. I didn't understand that figure either. I'm glad that in the study they gave an illustration to help us understand what this probability actually means. And here's what they said. They said to understand what 10 to the 17th power is, it would be like you filling all of Texas with silver dollar coins and going to the entire state of Texas, filling every square inch with silver dollar coins 2 feet deep. Okay, so imagine that you fill all of Texas, the state of Texas, 2 feet deep with silver dollar coins. Okay, then to understand what 1 in 10 to the 17th power is, that probability, it would be like you taking one of those coins and you coloring it red. then you decide you're going to go to Texas and you're going to place it somewhere of your choosing, anywhere you want in all of Texas. You can place it in the most northern part, the most southern part, the most eastern or western, wherever you want. You could choose a location where you're going to dig a hole. You put the coin down, you dig it back up. You could choose to skip it like you would a rock in water when you were a kid and skip that thing down. You could choose to put it wherever you want. Then imagine you go back to Elk Grove, California. You select one person, you blindfold them, you say you want them to come back with you to Texas in a helicopter, and you want them to go and to choose a coin in Texas. So as you're flying to Texas, you let them know you've been flying for some time. Now you finally enter into the state border of Texas, and you say, hey, we're now in Texas. I want you to select one coin when we land. Choose a time when you want us to land. And then they choose that they want to go ahead and fly around for hours and hours and hours. And then finally, when they're ready to land, they say, okay, let's go ahead and land. I want to pick a coin. So as you both get out of the helicopter, you let them know that they can pick any coin. They don't have to pick the first coin. They don't have to pick a coin that's right in front of them. Remember, they're still blindfolded. They could walk for 5 minutes. They could take 5 steps. They could walk for 5 miles. Whenever they want to choose to pick the coin. And then they reach down, they grab a coin, and a coin that they happen to pick is the red coin that you placed in the state of Texas. That is the probability of what 1 in 10 to the 17th power is. That is also the probability of just 8 out of the 300 prophecies about Jesus coming true. Come on, somebody ought to say amen right there. That's a miracle. Nobody could ever predict things like that. That could never happen if it wasn't for God being involved in the formation of the scripture. And the reason why prophecy could be so spot on is because prophecy didn't start with man. It started with God. Listen to what 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 says. It says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It takes more faith to believe that these prophecies were fulfilled by coincidence than to believe that God actually planned them and then fulfilled them. You have more faith than me if you actually believe that these prophecies happened to come true by coincidence. And I love this verse found in Psalm 33 and verse 4. It says, for the word of the Lord is right and true, for he is faithful in all he does. The word of the Lord is right and true. In other words, the Bible is right and true. And he was faithful during the formation of the scriptures. The Bible can be trusted because God has had his hand and his fingerprint upon the formation of the scriptures ever since the beginning all the way until today, so that we can know that the Bible is 100% accurate, unblemished, and that it's been preserved. And if the Bible were not 100% accurate today, then God would not expect you and I to be accountable to a flawed scripture. But the fact that it is 100% accurate means that you and I have to be accountable to the Lord, and you and I have to be accountable to the scriptures. Why? Because the Bible is historically accurate. The Bible is scientifically accurate, and the Bible is prophetically accurate. And my hope today is that whether this is your first time ever logging into a service or whether you've been raised in church your entire life, that you would know that you could trust the Bible not just based upon the faith that you place in it, but because there's actual overwhelming proof that the Bible we have today is historically accurate and that it's correct. And my hope is that if you've had any questions about the validity of the Bible, or if you've had any questions about this historical character named Jesus that is found about in your Bible, that if you've had any questions like this, that those questions would be laid to rest today because of the overwhelming proof. And here's what this means for our lives. This means that when we read scriptures or when we hear someone preaching on the scriptures, we shouldn't just be hearers of the word only, but we must become doers of the word. Because if his word is 100% accurate and 100% true, then we ought to be accountable to a Bible that is 100% valid. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. And Lord, no matter where we are or where we started in this message, at the beginning of this message, where our beliefs might have lied, I pray, God, that those questions could be put to rest because the proof is overwhelming. We can trust you and we could trust your word. And because of that, Lord, every time we hear a message or any time we read scripture, would you just speak to our hearts? Would you change us from the inside out? Would you hold us accountable? God, because your scriptures are 100% true and your scriptures want to speak to our heart. So God, change us from the inside out by using your scriptures today. In Jesus' name, as we put our trust in you, amen and amen. Now, you might be watching this sermon today online, and if you are, you're at home today, and maybe you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. You've never crossed over the line of faith, and maybe the reason why you never did is because you just didn't know if the Bible was true. You just didn't know if this Jesus was a real person throughout history, and now you realize that he is, and you realize that the scriptures can be trusted. And so I want to pray a prayer with you that it's called the prayer of salvation. And if you believe it in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess it with your mouth, then the Bible says you will be saved. That verse is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says that you will be saved if you believe this in your heart. So I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me, okay? Let's bow our hearts and let's pray together. Say these words. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to forgive me of all the things I've ever done wrong. For right now, I realize that you are true, that you are real, and that your scriptures can be trusted. Your Bible is not flawed. It is 100% accurate. And because of that, I need to be accountable to you. So right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you, I believe on you, and I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior. For it's in Jesus' name that I give you thanks. And everybody said aloud, amen. Amen. Now, here's what happened. In the Bible, there's a scripture found in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. And it says that even when just one person comes to know the Lord, that all of heaven erupts in praise. And so all the angels are erupting in praise over that decision that you made to follow Jesus. But so is our Harvest Church family and our ministry team. If you don't have a Bible, please contact us. We want to give you a Bible because we want you to read the scriptures every single day. And by the way, that when you made that decision, you now became a part of the family of God. We want you to know that your new spiritual family is Harvest Church. This is your spiritual family. We don't just want you to tune in today only, but we want to be a part of your spiritual growth forever and ever. And so we're so glad that you made that decision. Now, everyone, before we leave today, I want to leave you with this priestly benediction. It's found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27. It says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And that's my prayer for you today, is that the Lord would give you peace as we live this week in light of God's word, knowing that his word is absolutely valid and that it can be trusted. We love you so much. Thank you for tuning in today, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. God bless you.